Later, when he and his wife were having children, 7 in all, Broderick would tell each of them the same story as they reached the age when they could understand the real meaning of blindness. His daughter, Katie Broderick Duffy, says, "He'd tell us how he was hurt in the war, and that when he came home, he went with his mother to Lourdes, the famous shrine in France, to pray for a miracle. He said that before they put the water on his eyes, he asked the Lord a favor. 'If I can't have my eyesight back, could you find a girl for me to marry?' And that's how he met my mother." When you're little, and you hear that story, you really think it was a miracle. Broderick's wife Eileen is a little skeptical of the story, but Tom insists it's true, although his version is a bit breezier. "I said, 'I know we don't always get what we want, Lord, but we do get what's right for us. I'm really hoping to meet the woman for me. And if you want to throw in the eyes, too, that's okay.'" Not long after that, Tom and Eileen met on a blind date. No irony intended. Eileen was a 23-year-old nurse, and Tom was 27. She fell in love instantly. That night after the date, I went home, woke up my cousin, and said, "I've met the man I'm going to marry." She told me I'd been drinking too much, and I should go to bed. But I knew. He didn't think about his blindness. It just didn't seem to matter. He was so unique. He ran a business by himself and didn't need help from anyone, although it was a little tricky when we went out alone. I'd have to take him to the men's room and ask someone to take him in. I'd stand outside. I think being a nurse, I was a little more flexible. I understood that it was all just mechanics. My father was worried when I said I was marrying Tom. He just didn't understand how Tom could take care of me and a family. But after 3 or 4 years of marriage, they became very close. Tom's mother started him off right. When he came back from the war, she would not allow anyone to use the word blind in the home. Tom had to be treated with dignity and respect, and anything he wanted to try, he could do it. When he left his father's business to set out on his own, she was happy. Tom and Eileen had common roots as strongly faithful Roman Catholic Irish Americans. They settled into the life of the prosperous middle class on the south side of Chicago, where Tom's business continued to flourish and their family grew quickly. During 1 5-year stretch, Eileen had 5 children, and then another 2 later. Eileen says he was very involved in their upbringing. There were things he could do and those he couldn't. It was kind of a trial and error. He couldn't change diapers, but he could give them a bottle. We never talked about how to make things work. It wasn't easy, but we did what we had to do. The Broderick children were part of the equation of making things work. Katie, one of his daughters, says, "The blindness was just incidental. I'd see other people who were blind and not well adjusted and think, 'What's wrong with them?' Later, I realized not everyone had the strength and determination of my father. When I was little, friends would say, 'Your father's not blind. He could just do so many things, it didn't seem like he was blind.'" Dan Broderick, one of Tom's sons, says his father took care of most of the household chores, including assembling an elaborate stereo system, washing and waxing the car, and changing the storm windows through a series of systems he worked out. He refused to succumb to his blindness. He even refused to let his wife Eileen get disability license plates for the family car when they became available. "What's a handicap?" he'd say. "I don't have a handicap." But then, Tom isn't much for cars. Since he can't drive himself, he likes to walk, and his family was expected to do the same. Katie remembers, "We walked everywhere. He hated getting rides. He thought it was a waste." During his introduction to the world of the blind at a rehabilitation center in Connecticut, Broderick and his friends formed an informal organization to help each other adjust to their new realities. It became the Blinded Veterans Association, and Broderick decided that he should share the lessons of his new life with other veterans who were struggling with their blindness. He began making trips to Chicago-area rehabilitation programs, counseling sightless veterans on the career possibilities in insurance, mortgage sales, and car financing, the hot financial service fields as America exploded out of the cities and into the suburbs. "I'd tell them about my own struggle, how I was young when I became blind, and I knew how they felt. I brought some of them down to my office so they could see the Braille machine and what was possible. I don't feel any special bond with other blind organizations or blind people, but I wanted to help veterans. You have to do it. It was no big deal, really. Tom's son Dan remembers that during Vietnam, the nearby Veterans Administration office would send over young men who'd lost their sight in that war. When you first saw them, you thought you were at a wake. Some of them were suicidal, with their eyes blown out. Mom would go out and get a case of beer, and they'd sit on the porch with my dad and listen to the White Sox game. Then he'd navigate them around the house to show them what we had, 5 bedrooms, a big house. By the end of the night, they'd be back on the porch, drinking beer, but laughing now. Another son, Scott. You know how everyone says their dad is the best? Well, do you know how many people I've heard that from about my dad? Friends, neighbors, clients. Every kid thinks it. But to hear it from other people was so gratifying. He never let his disability get in the way of anything. Tom Broderick, in so many ways, embodies the best qualities of his generation. He was so eager to get involved in the war that he enlisted in 2 branches of the service. He was gravely wounded, but once he got over the initial, understandable anger, he set out to be the best husband, father, businessman, and citizen he could be. Sight or no sight.